Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You sure you want this cup? Listen once again to verses 38 and 39 of our text. Jesus said to them, "You don't know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" And they answered, "We can." I'd like to share with you a story. It's a family joke. David probably will remember this. When my daughter Rachel was very young, she was early in grade school, she saw me drinking something from a cup, and she says, "Dad, can I drink some of your apple juice?" Well, I shouldn't have been so ornery probably at the time, but I am kind of an ornery guy, as many of you know. And I said, "Sure, have a drink." And she took a big old swallow and ran to the sink and spit it out. It was cold coffee. So the joke is, "Hey, Rachel, you want a drink from my cup?" She knows better now. Now, that was kind of fun. And the whole idea of what's in your cup is kind of the theme I'd like to ask you about tonight. Because if Rachel really knew what was in my cup, she probably wouldn't have asked for a drink from it. She thought something else was in my cup. And yeah, it was ornery, but you know, it really didn't hurt her at all. But what if it would have been poison? What if it would have been something harmful? What if it would have been something that would have damaged her? You know, the poison control system and emergency room doctors and so on, they're always talking about children and adults and so on who have drunk something that has caused great difficulties in them. And so it's very important to know what's in the cup before you drink it. James and John should have known that. James and John should have known what cup Jesus was talking about before they said, "Yeah, we can drink from your cup." Jesus was being very kind and gracious to them, as he is kind and gracious to us as well. Notice how the text for tonight starts off. There's an ominous tone. Jesus is heading up to Jerusalem, and he's marching on ahead, and the disciples are lagging back behind. If it was a movie, you'd hear the music getting real scary, and you'd have this background music of something is going to happen here. And apparently the disciples knew that because it talked about that they were amazed and the followers were afraid. They apparently were picking up a little bit, not much, but a little bit, that what's going to be happening is kind of scary and kind of ominous. And as Jesus is going with his disciples on the road, he says, "We're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests. They will mock him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise again." This is the third time that Jesus has told them this. This is the third time that he has been very specific to them about this. And isn't it shocking, the next verse? The next verse tells us that James and John came up to Jesus, and they said, "Jesus, give us whatever we ask." What if somebody asked you that? "Give me whatever I ask." Wouldn't you kind of say, "Well, kind of depends. Depends on what you're asking for," right? Jesus, so loving to his disciples, Jesus says, "Well, what is it that you want?" And they said, "Let one of us sit at your right hand and one at your left hand as you go to your glory." Well, Jesus was going to his glory. Jesus was, and he was talking to his disciples about the glory, being spit on, mocked, flogged, crucified, and the third day rise again. But they didn't get it. They didn't hear that at all. They were hearing glory, and they were thinking of, whoa, glory in this world. they had in their minds what they thought was in the cup. And Jesus knew what was in that cup. How interesting that it is that there was a time when there was somebody on Jesus' right hand and on Jesus' left hand as he was in his glory. Remember? When Jesus was on the cross, he was on in his glory. He was enthroned in his glory. Not what we understand by the world standards, mind you, but that's exactly what Jesus was talking about. Jesus had been telling his disciples, "This is why I've come. I've come to suffer and die and be whipped and spit upon and mocked and to be crucified, but the third day I'm going to rise again." They didn't get it. Well, how did Jesus know? How did Jesus know that this was going to happen to him? Same way the disciples should have known. He knew from the scriptures. How interesting it is that the Gospel of Luke, as it's recalling this same story, will say to his disciples, Jesus will say to his disciples, "The Son of Man must go to Jerusalem just as the scriptures have said." Isaiah 53, Psalm 22, all kinds of examples in the Old Testament of saying when the Messiah would come, this is what would happen to him. And Jesus literally knew this. He knew it from the scriptures. He knew it from God's word. He had been teaching his disciples that, but the disciples were so caught up in their own visions of glory that they didn't understand the true glory that Jesus was talking about. And so as he talks about the cup, I'm guessing the disciples maybe were thinking the same thing maybe that we do. 23rd Psalm. The whole idea of you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My guess is maybe they were thinking about that. Very familiar psalm. They would have known that, and they were talking about that kind of cup, the cup that overflows. And yes, the Bible does talk about that. But Jesus knew that the Bible also talked about another cup. Another cup that Jesus knew that he must come and that he must drink. It was the cup of God's wrath. Again, from Isaiah chapter 51, "Awake, awake, rise up, O Jerusalem, you who have drunk from the hand of the Lord the cup of his wrath. You have drained to its dregs the goblet that makes men stagger." Isaiah. Jeremiah also writes, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, said to me, 'Take from my hand this cup filled with the wine of my wrath, and make all the nations to whom I send you drink it. When they drink it, they will stagger and go mad because of the sword I will send among them.'" You understand, there was a cup of God's wrath. Because of sin, because of wickedness, because of disobedience to God, God has the cup of wrath. And it's filled to the brim because of all the sins of the world. And Jesus says, "I have come to drink that cup." We know that's the case because in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed not once, not twice, but three times, "Father, if it be possible, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Three times, as he goes back and finds his disciples sleeping and so on, Jesus knew that that was the cup of God's wrath that he came to drink for us. Oh, James and John had no idea what they were talking about. James and John did not understand about this cup that Jesus says, "I must go and drink it." And they thought they could as well. Isn't it interesting that Jesus does say that you will drink of this cup? Now, not the cup of God's wrath, but the cup of suffering. Jesus wanted his disciples to know that being a Christian doesn't mean everything's going to go right in this world. In fact, he wanted us to understand that as a Christian, we're going to have to live contrary to the things of this world. And there can be times of suffering. There can be times of real difficulty. We heard it a few Sundays ago where Jesus talks to his disciples and he says, if anyone would come after me, if anyone would be my disciple, he must, oh shucks, deny yourself? No, that's not what the world says. The world says indulge yourself. But Jesus says, no, you must deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Jesus was teaching his disciples that yes, there will be times of suffering in this world. Yes, there will be times when the world will shut you out and when the world will look out against you. In fact, as the disciples asked Jesus the one time, they come out of the temple and they're asking about the end times, Jesus very clearly says, you, disciples, will be handed over to the local councils. You'll be flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. The gospel must first be preached to all nations, and whenever you're arrested and brought to trial, don't worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at that time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. And then he says, all men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. James and John had no idea that that was the cup Jesus was talking about. James and John, not knowing what they were saying, is saying, we can drink from that cup. Not the cup of God's wrath, because Jesus drank that to the dregs. He completely drank that for us. But the cup of suffering, yes. Isn't it interesting that James is the first apostle martyred? That James, the same James as James and John, that James, Herod beheaded with a sword. And so oftentimes, that symbol for the disciple James, the apostle James, is the symbol of the sword. The first Christian martyr, the first apostle who was martyred. James and John. And John, he was the last. John, the one who was exiled to the island of Patmos, who, tradition has it, drank poison from a cup. That's why the cup with the serpent in it. And how John then had to suffer as well. Isn't it interesting that James and John are kind of the parentheses of the problems that the apostles had, that this persecution that the apostles had, this cup of suffering that Jesus says, yes, you will drink of the cup of suffering. And yet the faithfulness that God gave to James, John, to all of the apostles. Yes, Jesus says to us that there is a cup that he gives to us to drink. It might be a cup of suffering. It might be a cup of suffering because we are not of this world. We live in this world, but we're not of this world. And so we might be rejected by the people of this world, and we might suffer in that way. Prayerfully, we won't be martyred in the United States of America. The day might come, who knows? But he also gives us another cup. He gives us a precious cup that we will receive in just a little bit. He gives us the cup of his blood, the cup of blessing, the cup of forgiveness of sins and strengthening of faith, and the cup because he suffered and died for us, because he drank completely the cup of God's wrath. Now he gives to us the cup of blessing. And he says, come, take and eat. Come, take and drink. Drink of the new covenant in my blood, the new blessings in my blood, given and shed for you. For you. Jesus drank the cup of wrath so that we might have the forgiveness of sins. What a precious Jesus we have. A precious Savior who drank the cup of God's wrath so that he might give to us the cup of blessing. What a joy we have to share with the world, especially as they go through difficulties in their life, of Jesus, who has already suffered all for them and wants to give to them the cup of blessing as well. We eagerly come and receive that once again tonight. We eagerly share that with those who do not yet know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It's in that precious name of Jesus. Amen. And now may that peace of God that passes all our understanding keep our hearts and our lives, our minds centered in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.